Selwyn Birchwood with the question, are we crazy? I think the answer is yes. Is that what you're saying? It's not that you're insane, but crazy is something else, right?
Yeah, man, crazy can be good too. It takes all kinds.
This is someone who names all of his guitars. I don't know, maybe that's not so crazy, but you need to talk to them, right?
Yeah, well, you got to have someone to talk to sometimes, and they don't talk back. That's when you're really crazy. That's when the problem starts.
What's this guitar's name?
The one I have today?
Yeah.
I guess this one is Salvation Army. That's where I got this one.
Ah! Well, that's, the name is actually the place, right? Okay, where you found it. What about that laptop thing? There's a picture of you playing it. I haven't seen you play that live, but you play that laptop guitar, right?
Yeah, I play a lap steel guitar. I actually learned that through Sonny Rhodes. That's who I started touring with when I was 19 years old, and I got into that. So it's a cool instrument. You normally don't see it in blues as often. I guess you do more now, but it used to be traditionally more kind of country instrument or something like that. But
Robert Randolph.
Yep. You know, all the sacred steel guys in the church play them too, yep.
And that was because the churches could not afford the big organs.
That's
right. They could afford lap steel guitar.
Yeah, they played that pedal steel guitar.
Yeah. So have you played with Robert Randolph?
I have, actually. We did the Joe Bonamassa Keeping the Blues Alive cruise last February, and he was on the ship, and the last night they had an Alligator Records night, so we played, and Jerika Singleton Band played, and Shamika Copeland. And Robert had gotten done with his set early, and he was wanting to go play somewhere, and we were still playing. So I got the message that he wanted to come jam. I was like, man, let's do it. So he got up and played with us for a couple tunes on the cruise over there. It was really cool.
And you both played the lap steel?
No, I was actually playing my straight guitar, but he got up, got his pedal steel set up, and went wailing on there for a while. It was killer.
Somewhere in the archive, you can hear when Robert Randolph came on the blues break with Booker T. They'd never met each other.
Oh, cool.
And yet they totally turned each other on and just went crazy playing. They went crazy playing. That was from a new album. It's called Pick Your Poison. It is the newest album, and you're going to be playing songs from that at B.B. King's
That's right.
Tonight.
Yep.
With your band. We're going to talk some more about this new album, but it's interesting, just one thing before, and that is that there are so many things on here that are satiric, but there are also things on here that are very philosophical, and there are also things on here that are very political, and there are also things on here that are very romantic, and so much more. It really is an extraordinarily emotional but also thoughtful album. So one of the more thoughtful songs is called Guilty Pleasures, and we have pretty much in agreement. Yes, I have plenty of those.
If you don't, then you're lying, I think.
and you want to play that live.
Yeah, man, I brought my guitar with me, so I figured that might be a cool one to do in studio here.
Please do.
All right, Guilty Pleasures. I just like the taste. I don't like no reefer except every day. I don't like the game, I just like to play. I don't care for strangers, but I dig the strange. And I don't know what else to tell you. They're just guilty pleasures. You're just guilty pleasure. like to gamble, I just like my luck. I don't like romance, I just love to love. I don't like the skin, but I just like what I see. I don't care for push-up, but it gives me what I need. And I don't know what else to tell you. They're just guilty pleasures. They're just guilty pleasures. They're just guilty pleasures. They're just guilty pleasures.
Selwyn Birchwood on WBGO, at WBGO, live just then in the Blues Break. And that's a song that's on Selwyn's new album called Pick Your Poison, new on Alligator. And actually, Bruce Iglauer, the boss at Alligator, creator of Alligator, discovered you somehow. You were, I mean, really already working, but you were in this challenge competition, and he signed you somewhat from that, right?
Yeah, we competed in what's called the International Blues Challenge in 2012, and what it is, it's a competition they have in Memphis every year. You have to win a local competition wherever you're from in order to compete and enter into the Memphis competition. So in 2012, we actually placed in the top nine in the finals of the competition out of almost 150 bands from around the world. And Bruce was the judge of the finals, and he saw my band then, and he wanted to kind of talk to me about the band at that point, and he seemed very interested. And we actually went back to compete in 2013 and actually ended up getting first place out of the 150 some bands. And I think he was interested in us before, but that kind of helped seal the deal a little bit more after that. And we ended up signing with him and had our record out by 2014. So it was really cool.
And that's when you were here last with the Don't Call No Ambulance.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's with me again today on WBGO, Selwyn Birchwood. I'm loving Guilty Pleasures. So many blues songs tend to list things, and that's one of them. Well, I like to do this, but really that. You know, and it's like life. And I keep thinking when I listen to that song, it's like a doctor said, are you going to quit smoking cigars? And I said, no. You have to do something foolish in your life. And my health is great, and I'm 70 years old, and the hell with it. You know, I mean, I have to have a guilty pleasure. Okay, I'll be guilty. I'll feel guilty about it. But I get too much pleasure. And sometimes life, you got to do that sort of thing.
That's right, man.
So that, and you playing music though, that's what became your life. And was it Jimi Hendrix who really inspired you?
Yeah, well, I had started playing guitar when I was about 12 or 13, and I was just playing stuff that was on the radio at that time, which in the mid-90s, they had the alternative and grunge and rock and that type of stuff. And I got bored with it really quickly, and I was actually going to quit playing guitar, but then I got a hold of a Jimi Hendrix record, and it just sounded like alien music to me. I didn't know what I was listening to, and I was so taken aback by it that I just wanted to know what would influence someone to write this kind of music. And when you look back in his bio, you see a lot of the older blues guys, the Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf and Elmore James. And then once I listened back to those guys, I felt like I found a sound that I'd been looking for the whole time. And that's what put me on the way to really digging in and trying to learn and perform blues music at that point.
And when you were playing finally and you're starting to learn and trying to play better and better, how long did it take before you realized, well, I can't really play like Jimmy, but I can be inspired to play like myself?
Well, that was always kind of my goal. I wanted to really play my own music, and that seems to be not as common in blues in this day and time. Muddy Waters and B.B. King and all these guys wrote songs and performed their own music, and now it seems like it turns sometimes to, you know, you need to just play what Muddy and BB and them wrote. But what we're trying to do is really find our own voice and really take those old blues sounds that I love so much and try to put our own personality and paint our own picture with it.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're just a cover band in a saloon.
Right.
You know. I mean, you write all these songs. I was saying some of these songs on the new album, Pick Your Poison, new from Selwyn Birchwood. There's a song on here that I totally agree with, and I've encountered some people who are very adamant about things from a religious perspective, and yet they seem to have none of the virtues of the very religion that they are espousing.
Yeah.
You know, a religion that's about forgiveness. I've encountered people so unforgiving, it's almost unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so you've written this song. Tell us about this song called Even the Saved Need Saving.
Yeah, it's a hell of a world that we're living in when even the saved need saving is what the song says. And that's how I feel about it. I really wanted to write a gospel song and put it on this record, but I wanted to have it kind of be a different sort of a gospel song. So I really dug the irony of writing a gospel song that says that.
It's like an anti-gospel song, but it's not against gospel.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's anti, in the sense of an anti-hero is sometimes more heroic than the hero. But yes, right. Yes. Well, here's Heroically on the WBGO. Selwyn Birchwood on WBGO, and that's from a new album called Pick Your Poison. Just then, one of Selwyn's songs. They're all Selwyn songs on this album. But Justin, Even the Saved Need Saving. You get reactions from these songs?
Yeah, people really seem to dig that one live, especially. It's just, we try to do a high energy show, and people really seem to get into that one for sure.
People don't necessarily know what you're singing, maybe. And they just get that feeling of, I mean, you whip it up. I mean, you got When the Saints Go Marching In almost in the middle of that song.
Yeah.
And that whole feeling of just get up and dance.
Yeah.
And yet there's really something being said.
Yeah.
And that's old-fashioned in a way. That goes back to the 60s when you were trying to, in very hip pop tunes, say something. And you're saying something all over this album.
Yeah, for sure. We really pride ourselves in the songwriting aspect of it, and I just don't feel the same emotional content and connection when I'm playing other people's music, so I'm really happy that we're able to play our own stuff and have it go over so well and be received in such a positive way.
Police State is one of the songs in here. I suppose it's the one song that I don't know if I don't even know if your political songs are angry. There are so much more that there's something else to them, that they are thoughtful as opposed to just being angry.
Well, it's not supposed to come from a stance of anger or judgment or anything like that. That's the only song on the record that I don't play live. We play every other song throughout our show on the record, but that's the only one that I say that I don't like talking about it too much because words can be misconstrued. But on the album, you can listen to the song and the words are even written in the booklet on there.
Right.
And I say that I said everything I wanted to say in the song, and I really believe that.
I think one of the great lines in here is that when you're talking about politics, people get arguments about the right and the left, and you said, no, it's not about that. It's about right and wrong.
Correct.
Which are different. Yeah. Very, very different. And not to think about it in the other way. I love the sound of the baritone saxophone in the group.
I've got Reggie Oliver on baritone saxophone and flute, Big Love on drums, and Huff Wright on bass guitar.
And also, you rarely hear a flute in a blues band. So you got both of these elements, although there have been baritone players, obviously, from the very beginning. There were baritone players more often in rock and roll bands.
Yeah.
And tenor players also, but there's a kind of gritty, growly, earthy thing that you get from a baritone you don't get from any of the other saxophones.
It kind of happened by accident. I just didn't know any other musicians that I wanted to perform with, and Reggie was the only other one that I was really happy with his playing, and you know, just a phenomenal player, and that I could see myself being able to tour with. And we were eventually going to add a keyboard player, but we got into it, and we just really started liking the feel of a four-piece with a baritone. And the more that we traveled and the more that we toured, the more we saw how unusual it was to have the setup that we did with a four-piece with drum, bass, guitar, and baritone sax. So we were like, hey, maybe this is us, and we're still doing it now.
You were playing the lap thing on the guitar on this last song, right? That's what it sounded like. It sounded like you were doing some serious, like, you know, sleeking along the strings.
Yeah, that one, actually, I was playing an old guitar I got from an old Harmony guitar that I purchased at a pawn shop in some unknown, can't remember the name of the small town in Georgia somewhere, but I play lap steel on a couple of the other songs on the record.
But were you doing a bottleneck thing?
Yeah, I was playing slide on that.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, when you do that, sometimes it does create some of the feeling, certainly, or the sound of more of a keyboard, a chordal instrument, or an orchestral instrument.
Yeah.
When you get that sweeping of the notes. All that legato going on.
Absolutely.
It's actually, it gives it a tapestry quality. I like that. And I like that. It's all through this whole album. It's lots of really, really good playing besides all these extraordinary songs that he's written. And Pick Your Poison. So one of these songs, tell us about the song you're going to do live, Reaping Time.
That's just some of my favorite songs, actually a lot of my favorite songs are songs that express an emotion or tell a story, and you know, you're able to do it musically, and that song I think does that. It expresses emotions and definitely tells a story in Reaping Time.
Here's the storyteller, Selwyn Birchwood.
We down south of the Georgia line. I heard the sound of a poor man crying. With a picture of a woman that he once loved. Carried anger, an address, a motive, and a gun. Oh, it's reaping time. It's reaping time. Yeah, the seeds have been sown and grown, and it's reaping time. To do as he reads reads, reads, reads an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. He could see, 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 see through the Georgia rain. What would be, one that he would slay? It's reaping time. It's reaping time. Yeah, the seeds have been sown and grown, and it's reaping time. Betrayal, heartache, and the pain. Oh, his face lit up with a flash, Lord, a flash and the bang. The man lived his days and didn't forget it. Victim lived just long enough to taste regret. Oh, it's reaping time. It's reaping time. Yeah, the seeds have been sown and grown, and it's reaping time.
Selwyn Birchwood. That's one of the songs on the new album called Pick Your Poison, but that's him, himself, on WBGO in the studio. And a delight again to have you come by. You do have a wonderful troubadour quality. You ever do shows just you and the guitar?
I do very seldomly when I'm home during the wintertime in Florida, but I haven't done anything large scale. But I always thought there was something really cool and emotive about a person and a guitar, for sure.
You grew up in Florida. You grew up in Tampa?
I grew up in Orlando, Florida, actually.
Orlando.
I moved to Tampa, Florida about 7 years ago now.
Okay. Okay, what's the scene like down there? I mean, we think of Miami and we think of a scene. We know what, you know, there's going to have this Latin sound and, you know, Cuba and all that, but what, you know, what's the scene like in Tampa? Is there a Florida blues?
It's actually really fertile soil for blues music and live music in general. There's a great community radio station they have over there that really supports local and touring musicians. They've got a great blues society, actually several great blues societies throughout Florida, but there's actually a lot of blues clubs, a lot of festivals, and more festivals for blues music popping up each year. And just a great deal of respect and support for the music down there. So during the wintertime, we dodge snow and we stay in Florida from about November till February. And, you know, we stay busy working still, even just in Florida. So it's actually really cool.
I like that you said we dodge snow. I like that. But I mean, as you know, a kid who grows up in Florida grows up and then goes out into the world and suddenly you're being snowed on. It's like, yeah. What the hell is this?
We've been to some places and I can't understand for the life of me how people do it. Like, we're at the beach in November.
And, you know, you are the son of someone from Tobago, which is, you know, one of the great islands in the Caribbean. And you ever get down there?
Yeah, I went down there when I was a kid and, you know, went and listened to some steel drum music and drank coconut water straight from a coconut and had some Caribbean food and listened to some island music. It was great.
Do you ever get that into your music, you think?
It's a dream of mine, and I'm hoping to figure out how to do it. I've got an idea for a blues song with some steel drums in it, and I'm hoping to get that on the next record.
Well, Trial by Fire's got a little bit of that, I think, at the beginning, right?
It's got Reggie playing flute and kind of echoing back to that fife and drum sound at the beginning of the record, which I thought fit really well.
Yeah, yeah, that and so much more. We talked about the baritone saxophone. That really shows up on the song called Lost in You, which is a beautiful ballad, you know, a sort of lost love song.
Yeah, yeah.
But also about being lost in someone. That's the art. There's lots of enigmatic twists in your song.
Yeah.
And also wisdom, I think, because you basically say, look, and Pick Your Poison, there's all these things. They'll make you. This will make you feel good. Oh yeah, and that'll make you feel good. There's a price, kiddo.
Yeah.
You know, there's a song in there about. Well, let's see. There was a woman I loved, and now there's whiskey. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's it. At the same time, yeah, you will feel really good.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of the but in your songs, I think, on this album. That's some of that wisdom.
It's been about 3 years since. Our last record came out, and it's been that long because I really try to put a lot of thought and effort into the songs. I don't like to just slough something in the studio and record it and try to give it out to people. If there's any hidden meaning or double entendres to any of the songs, it's most likely purposeful. And we try to put a lot of thought, and I try to put a lot of thought into the lyrics and into the writing of the song. So. It takes a little bit longer, but I'm really happy with the way that it came out, and I'm excited for people to hear it now.
Well, here's that song I was talking about called Lost in You.
You got it.
Selwyn Birchwood. Lost in You. Pick Your Poison. New song, new album from Selwyn Birchwood. He's on with me at WBGO live, and good to have you back.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You're putting this album together. I the one thing I really am curious about is that you went to school for a degree in business.
Yeah.
And you have an MBA.
Yeah, I sure do.
Now, how does an MBA affect you as a blues artist?
Well, people had always told me, you know, you play music and you're great. You don't need education or you don't need school, and I looked at it very differently. I felt like because I am a musician and I do play music that I do need it more than anybody, because I don't, you know, nobody really knows what this business is going to look like in 10 years or 5 years. You see how quick the landscape has changed, even with music sales turning digital and pirating of music and that type of thing. But I just figured it would be a good idea. I had an opportunity to go do it, and I thought it'd be silly not to, and I didn't think that it really was that unusual while I was doing it. But now that I'm getting into more and more interviews, it seems like people are really interested in that.
No, it just amused me when I was reading this. It was like, or made me curious, you know, this is a business where you really need to know the business or you will get lost.
Yeah.
And you know, but did you ever write papers? I'm curious. Since I went through the whole process of writing dissertations and all of that,
did you
have to write papers? And when you wrote papers, did you write about the music business or some twists about the musical life?
No, when I was in school, it was case studies and just anything business related that they wanted you to write about. It was very boring and very challenging with the entire workload. I was doing about 18 or 19 hour school days on the regular. And I did 18 months worth of coursework in 12 months, so it was kind of a crazy ride.
Do you do the taxes for all the guys in the band?
No, we sort that out individually.
Oh, okay. But you sort your own out, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do you have accounting prowess? Or you know, what's the perspective that you learn when you get an MBA? What is it you really, the essential thing that you're learning how to do?
I think it, I learned more way of viewing things. I look at things more as kind of investment and outcome and risk and return sort of things in everything that we're doing with the band and with the music business. So I think that perspective really kind of does help.
Yeah. As I've always said, and you probably noticed this, that whatever you get paid, in the end, you're playing the gig for free. You're getting paid for being on the road.
Oh, yeah.
For all the troubles and the problems and the damn nuisances of being on the road.
Absolutely. They always say whatever you would be doing if you were trapped on a desert island, that's what you should do for a living, and that's what your passion is, and that would definitely be playing music and performing. But if I had to be on a desert island, it wouldn't be, you know, on a desert island and traveling for 18 hours, no sleep, and that type of thing. So that's definitely for sure.
So where are you playing next after playing B.B. King's tonight?
We head to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We head to, oh man, where are we going tomorrow? We're only about a weekend on this six and a half week tour. We're going to be all through the Northeast and all over the Midwest and up into Canada as well. We've got about 30 something shows.
I'll see you up in Montreal. You're going to be playing in Montreal on the big stage outdoors on the Seine Bell.
Yeah,
that's a great stage. I mean, it's a great audience, and you're one of the outdoor free concerts, and that's going to be something.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that.
Okay, you've never been there, or you?
I haven't. We haven't done that one. We've done several festivals in Canada, but I've been hearing about Montreal International Jazz Festival for a long time now.
Yeah, for years they used to have one on the corner of the Place des Arts that was all blues all day long.
Oh, yeah.
And now they moved it a little bit to the left, as it were, and there's a bigger stage, and that's where they have a variety of music, especially world music, and the blues is certainly a world music.
Yeah.
And certainly, you know, the way you play it. Do you feel that there's a kind of leitmotif? Is there something, a central thought on this album?
There's a
a central thought on this album.
No, music for me is I'm not sure what I would do if I didn't have that as an outlet. When I look at the record now, I can see how it was kind of therapy for me. I'm able to put my emotions and frustrations as well as my creativity into one source. And when I look at it now, it's almost like a couple of the songs is almost like just looking up my diary and listening to my diary type of thing. So I think it's cool, when it's that personal. Because if it's that personal to me, maybe it's that personal to someone else. And that's when you can really connect with music. And I think that's such a cool feeling when you can do that.
You really are, in many ways, it seems to me, looking at your songs, listening to your songs, there's a lot of the facing of demons on this record.
Yeah.
And it's like being realistic about them.
Yeah.
You know, and then how do you fight back against them? And then some of them, it's like, you know, that's me.
I was talking to, I had an opportunity to meet one of my favorite musicians in Keb Moe on the Blues Cruise last year. And I was kind of trying to pick his brain about songwriting, that type of thing. And he said, you know, that should be the ultimate thing, is focus on your songwriting. And I thought that was kind of a given, but he also said, you know, share relentlessly, dig deep and share relentlessly with your songwriting, with your emotions, and that you can really connect with people when you do that. And I think that's really great advice now that I look back on it.
You wanted to do one more song live, and it's actually the song that kicks off the new album, a song all about trial by fire.
Yep, that's right. This one's called Trial by Fire. You know, it's a funny thing when you're doing wrong, they say that you got a devil on your shoulder. They don't tell you is if you leave that devil on your shoulder too long, you can get a devil on your other shoulder, man. Push on my shoulder with bad like wings. Push on my shoulder with
bad like waves, whispering, whispering devilish things, whispering, whispering devilish things. You know what that old devil told me? She don't love you. She don't love you. How could she love you? She don't love you. She don't love you. No, she never did. No, she never did. No, she never did. No, she never did. Don't tell me no lies. While I saw what was going on, 'cause in every life you're tested from time to time, but this was a trial, y'all, a trial by fire, trial by fire, trial by fire, trial by fire. Trial by fire, but I'm still alive, Lord, I'm still alive, Lord, I'm still alive, Lord, I'm still alive, get thee behind. Now I tell that old devil, get thee behind. Get thee behind. Get thee behind. Get thee behind.
Selwyn, Birchwood, that's a trial by fire. And thanks for bringing by, what'd you call the guitar? Salvation Army?
That one's Salvation Army. That's where I picked her up, is at the Salvation Army.
What are some of your other guitars named?
Oh, I've got one I just call Baby.
Oh, okay.
They're always really creative. I've got a red 335 that I call Red.
Is that the one you're playing here?
Yeah, that's
on
that's
the back red. Of the booklet is he's playing this red guitar and his feet are up. And you are the first person I ever interviewed in 45 years on the radio who I conducted the interview with someone who was actually barefoot. And you said you like to play barefoot.
Yeah, it's just my comfort zone. When I'm home in Florida, you know, I've always got sandals on or I'm just barefoot, and on stage, I think it helps me to not take things too seriously.
You will be barefooting tonight at BB King's?
Oh, for sure.
Okay, that's what he's going to be, 7:30 and 9:30 at BB King's, Selwyn Birchwood. I also love the cover because there's a cartoon on the cover, and there's this fellow, there's a skeleton with hair somewhat like yours and a guitar somewhat like yours, sort of leaning on the bar with a big smile as if to say, look, okay, I know I look evil, but I'm not, okay? And then at your feet, there's a cat looking up and going, yeah, right.
That's right.
I love it. Pick your poison. Pick your poison. It's just great. It's a terrific, thoughtful album, and musically, it's just all over. And just a treat. It pulls you right in. Very compelling, and it's good to have you back, and I hope it's not another 3 years before you come back.
I hope not too, man. I appreciate you having me on, and if anyone wants to find out anything else on the band, you can go to my website. It's just selwynbirchwood.com, or like the Facebook page with the Selwyn Birchwood Band.
and so forth on WBGO.